This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
I'm fat. I don't want you zooming in on me. Back up.
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello?
What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Good evening, and welcome to ENN on this Wednesday evening. I'll start off by saying good evening to Don.
I pride myself on leaving.
And to Michael.
That's just bad radio, man.
Oh, it's awful. Stop being Jamal. The Yankees have played 7 doubleheaders this year, Don and Peter. That's 14 games. What do you think their record is?
6-1.
Why can't we use your drop of mismath?
It's not as funny. It's the way you say 6-1 that makes the whole thing.
You're
6-1. I'll fight a 12-year-old.
Michael really stung me today.
I know. I can tell it hurt a
little. But you know what? The truth hurts, as they say.
That's true.
ESPN.
ENN tonight. ENN tonight is fueled by Sloman's.
Why?
Mentioned it early. They spent money for it. We mentioned it at the top of the show, but haven't talked about it for a while now. Luis Severino came back, looked good. Yesterday. However, Dellin Betances out. As quickly as he was back, he is off. And not going to return this time. It's a partially torn Achilles.
What is it again?
A partially torn.
Thank you for repeating it. I appreciate it.
I already see RJ making the drop. How do I see you going to get the drop made that fast?
Oh, my God. Brendan Brown?
By the way, quick, because I just saw this. We were just talking about Joe Flacco. You know how pro football reference, they do it with all the sports. Like, what your career is equivalent to other players in the past. And for Joe Flacco, it's Jim Everett, Ron Jaworski, Jay Cutler, Phil Sims, Mark Brunell, Andy Dalton, Matt Hasselbeck, Jim Plunkett, Roman Gabriel, and Troy Aikman.
How does Troy Aikman end up there?
Well, because again, look at Troy Aikman's regular season numbers. They're not impressive. Never threw for 4,000 yards. You know, even like I know Aikman didn't play in the juiced football era, like his whole career, if you want to say that, and he never had more than 23 touchdown passes in the season.
Wow. Well, we'll get back to football.
Please.
So Betances was celebrating a strikeout, hopped off the mound, and partially tears his left Achilles, and he's out.
What was Martin Gramatica's brother's name? Bill Gramatica. He kicked the field goal against the Giants when he was the Cardinal, celebrated, ended up hurting himself. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do this.
It's a partially torn.
That's what happened to Bill. He partially torn.
But yeah, I wonder if whether the drop should have Don asking me to correct it and then I say it again.
Would that be the extended version? But for drop madness, that's the one that
we
should.
I don't know. It might sound amazing when you go partially torn and then you go, what did you say? And I go, partially again. It might
well, listen, you were doing your job. I wanted to hear it.
I read the word partially and torn at the same time.
It happens. Even I messed it up when I was making fun of you.
It's a partially torn.
Brendan Brown?
I think I said partially torn.
It's a partially torn Achilles.
What is it again?
A partially torn.
Thank you for repeating it. I appreciate it. Some of the best radio is when Michael leaves. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
I don't know if that could have happened if Michael was here.
Quicker, y'all get rid of that sloppy pig, the better you can do.
He'd be humbling me right now. He wouldn't have time for other stuff.
Let's hear Buster Olney.
Please.
He's unsure of how the Yankees are going to use Severino in the postseason.
They're not locked into anything with him. They're not necessarily counting on it to be a starter. They're not necessarily penciling him into the bullpen. And no matter who starts for the Yankees, you know this, I know this, Aaron Boone is going to be aggressive with that bullpen. It might be one time through the order, 15 batters before he's making a signal out, calling in one of the guys from that great group of relievers they have.
That didn't seem the way Aaron Boone was. Boone seemed genuinely excited. Like, there's enough time for him to be the dominant starter. If they think he can be first half Severino from 2018, they're not using him in a bullpen. He's going to start.
I would think so as well. Let's move to Fenway Park, where
Please.
Last night Carl Yastrzemski's grandson,
mm-hmm.
had his first game at Fenway Park. And here's what happened on KNBR.
3-1, Yastrzemski hits a high drive center field. Jackie Bradley going back, looking up. It's gone. And you can only imagine what's going through the head of Mike Yastrzemski. And his whole family. He has homered at Fenway Park.
Mike Yastrzemski, pretty cool.
Now, Carl played till he was 44.
Yes, he played for a long time. We just talked about this. He played for a long time.
That makes me feel a little better, but that means I saw someone play whose grandson is now playing in Major League Baseball and professional sports. I got the whole son playing thing, but to have seen somebody whose grandson is playing in the bigs.
But yeah, he did play for a very long time.
Now you said he played till he was 44.
So don't feel too bad. Also, the Giants and Red Sox tied the record for the most pitchers used during their 15-inning game. 24 pitchers. 13 by the Giants.
Well, maybe Barry Zito will appreciate this.
Five hours, 54 minutes.
He's coming up at 6:30. Barry Zito, former Giant.
All these Giant stories today.
So, obviously with the kids now, my wife gets excited when the Giants are playing 7 o'clock games as opposed to 9:45 or 10:15 games because we're just exhausted. We're two exhausted human beings. So they finally are going to start two series against Boston and Atlanta where the games are going to be at a normal time. And the first game has to go until like 1 o'clock in the morning.
6 hours.
And she stayed up for the whole thing like an animal.
I thought she was on the verge of bailing. A year or two ago.
Well, she's not bailing, just meaning that the game is watching her more than she's watching the game. And last night might have been no exception, but she did get to see the end of the game. But I abandoned her. I went to bed and left her on the couch, and I woke up because Marco was crying at 3:45 in the morning, and she was still down there.
Things are happening at night.
Fell asleep.
Yeah, she's...
Time for sleepy time.
I'm not a couch sleeper. I get doze on the couch, but I'm going to get up and go to bed.
You're not going to completely fall asleep.
But she commits to the couch sometimes.
Yeah, like she's down there, she falls asleep, it's over. Good night, good luck.
Are you a couch sleeper?
I can be. Yeah. But I have, not recently, but I can be. I have it in my arsenal. I can sleep anywhere. There you go.
That's a gift.
Thank you. Man, do you want to sleep over tonight? Pittsburgh Pirates closer Felipe Vasquez.
This isn't good.
Admitted to police that he tried to sleep with a 13-year-old girl and sent her nude photographs and him committing sexual acts.
Please, dear God, tell me he didn't know she was 13.
I believe that he did.
Oh, he's, come on.
I mean, she's not 17, she's 13. He knew. Vasquez is 28. He was arrested Tuesday and charged with 6 counts, including multiple felonies, blah, blah, blah. She's now 16. He first talked to her when she was 13 years old. The police said that he met her in the bullpen at PNC Park in Pittsburgh and communicated with her through text.
Oh, my God.
Claiming initially that he refused to communicate with her due to her age, saying that she appeared to be 16 or younger.
Now, you know in baseball you can't create a save opportunity, meaning like you can't come in and then give up a bunch of runs and then it becomes a save opportunity. When she eventually turns 18 during the trial, she still was 13 when you did this. So you can't like wait it out. Well, she's 18 now. It's okay.
No.
Come on. Really, bro? Now, if you're going to tell me you didn't know, I mean, 13 still, that's a bit of a stretch that you can look.
It's impossible.
18, 19 years old.
I believe that's impossible.
But if you knowingly involve yourself with a 13-year-old, is there a level of hell that's deep enough?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we hear stories every day that are... I read a story yesterday that's at least as deep a level of hell, if not higher.
True. I read the same story.
Yeah, there are plenty of levels.
Had it read to me, actually.
Yeah, there are plenty of stories.
So he'll get off in the elevator, and there'll be other people still going down. But
yeah.
It's a significant ride
He's taking a ride.
Double digits?
I can't.
I don't know.
Now we're getting too far into the analogy. I don't really understand.
I just think.
You know what his nickname is?
I don't even want to play around with
Nightmare.
This. Well, this is a nightmare for everybody involved.
Let's see. We mentioned the Yastrzemski family. How about the Biggios?
Yeah.
The second ever father and son duo to hit for the cycle. Son did it yesterday. Pretty cool. His dad did one on April 8th, 2002.
The whole team has got sons of major leaguers, right? Because there's Biggio, there's Bichette, there's Guerrero.
And there's Guerrero, yeah.
Now, every time there's a cycle now, I get tweets from people saying I ruined the cycle for them because I don't think it's that big of a deal. Because you do something in symmetry. Meanwhile, I hit three home runs at a triple. They don't have a name for that.
Well, here's what it sounded like last night. This is from 590, the fan.
Swinging a drive towards the gap in left center field. It's hit well. Going back is Mason, and he can't get it. It's off the wall. Kevin Biggio is racing towards third. He's on his way to third base, and he becomes the third player in franchise history to hit for the cycle.
That's odd. Only three?
And Don ruined it for them.
Well, here's what I'll say that's impressive. When the triple's the last hit, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because that's the hardest. For sure.
Yeah, so that's pretty. But the Blue Jays started in 77, and there's only been three cycles?
See,
I take it back. Very impressive.
Is it? Very cool.
It's not the rarity of it. It's just so symmetry.
Well, I think it's both. The symmetry is rare.
Yeah, but still, there are better days.
So Steph Curry says he plans to play in the 2020 Olympics. Here he's talking to Rachel Nichols on The Jump.
That is the plan, for sure. You know, obviously, knock on wood, you don't want to,
injuries. So you're committed. You're willing. You're going to go.
Definitely want to go. That's something that I've never experienced. I've never been on the Olympic team. I've been on two World Cup championship gold medal teams, but the Olympics is an experience that I want, and next year will hopefully be it.
Well, you didn't help him out this year, Steph.
Yeah, well, where were you this year?
Steph was also asked about Kevin Durant saying that he never felt accepted in Golden State.
Shut up.
I mean, that's tough. There's so many narratives that go on, especially when you're at the top of the league. But at the end of the day, I think he knows, you know, what we were about as teammates, what we were about as friends on and off the court, whatever he, you know, needed to do to make that decision, and however he wants to explain that, you know, that's just what's going to happen.
Just let it go, man. Enough. Right? Why does this story just continue to happen?
And then, well, KD did that interview with the Wall Street Journal, and that's...
Well, it's partially his fault, too.
Oh, who? KD?
Yeah.
No, it's all KD. Steph's just responding.
I know, but it just...
I mean, I love KD, but I think that's KD having the conversation.
I'm just getting a little annoyed now, all right? He decided to move on.
So
this respect, disrespect. Oh, all right, stop.
Shout out to Maria Marino from SNY. She dropped me a note thinking this would be interesting for ENN.
Former Ramapo alum.
She's Ramapo alum?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. And then, hold on.
I went to Ramapo. Look at me.
There you go.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael Kay.
So, the New York Liberty won the WNBA lottery last night during a WNBA playoff game at halftime. The consensus top pick is Sabrina Ionescu from Oregon. And on top of that, I didn't realize this, Don, that the Nets and Barclays Center now have the Liberty.
Mm-hmm. And so, the games are on Yes.
And so the games are moving to Yes. The question is, do you think they'll play at the Barclays Center?
Why not?
I don't know. Is it a guarantee that they will?
I don't know what the situation is with them. I just know that Chris Sheeran does a great job doing the play-by-play on Yes.
So we'll see. But I wanted to throw that in there because I do a poor job mentioning big WNBA news.
That is big.
And particularly, we need all the good basketball news we can get. And it could be even more of the story of just everything being big around Brooklyn and the Barclays Center. Well, the old garden.
They were good when they first started the Liberty. Never won a championship, but they were always right there. But they've kind of faded recently, right? Obviously, if they won the draft lottery, they didn't have a good season this year.
That's what that implies.
But it's been a while since they've been good. I don't follow regularly, but it was a big thing when it first started, I remember.
Yeah, the Liberty can't. When the Liberty are good, there's a good crowd there, too. This is actually a pretty decent city for it, I think, when they're playing well.
This is a big basketball town.
Yeah. You could argue it's number one. It's right there.
I don't... Definitely the island of Manhattan. Like, I think the boroughs, it's big.
It's hard to judge the Yankees, to me, because the Yankees are so good. Like, would the Yankees fans hold on and be as hardcore as the Knicks fans are after being bad for this long?
It's really a great point.
You don't know.
Because they haven't had to.
We don't know. Look what the Giants fans are like.
Well, I kind of know. I'm old enough to know.
But they weren't bad then. Relative to the Knicks, they weren't bad.
No,
they were actually
but
good.
I remember the early 90s, you know, with Stump Merrill and all that. Then there were lousy teams, Bucky Dent.
Listen,
but it wasn't a sustained period of time like it's been with the Knicks or the way that it's been with the Jets or the way it's been with the Islanders. or even the Mets.
People here, we have Giants fans now crying every single day, and they won a championship less than a decade ago. And they're getting booed off the field, and people are losing their mind about the Giants.
They still go.
They do. Not the way they used to.
It's tough to be completely irrelevant when it's football, and it's only 8 home games and 16 games, and things can change on a dime.
The Redskins have found a way.
But
empty stadium.
It would be interesting. Like, if you tell me that let's say the Yankees they don't win the championship this year, and then the bottom drops out, and then for the next 10 years, they're 500 or below. How relevant would they be in relation to everybody else? It's a fascinating question.
In a video chat, Melvin Gordon says that he will play somewhere this season. Of course, he's holding out for an extension to become one of the top paid running backs in football. And he told followers on Instagram that he will play somewhere this season. And that, quote, it would be a waste of talent if he did not. He also said that even though the Chargers finished 12-4 and reached the postseason in 2018, last year was good, but nobody cared. Referring to fans in Los Angeles.
Well, that's true. I blame the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
Rams were one thing, but to put two
at the same time?
At the same time, when there is serious question on whether it should be any team. I know it's the second biggest television market in the country. And I know they want a Super Bowl
in
LA.
It's not a football town, though.
And the NFL networks in LA and all that stuff. I get it. But it's not a huge football town. There's a reason why the Rams left. There's a reason why the Raiders left. And I know there were extenuating circumstances, and there are a lot of people. I can buy one. But two at the same time?
It's a lot. Jalen Ramsey will play on Thursday night for the Jaguars against the Titans.
You feeling that game?
No. I haven't looked at the line. I like Tennessee, but the line could be big. So, you guys know the line?
Michael was indicating off the air that he was.
And you know how he's betting if he bets it. If he's not betting Jacksonville, he's not betting.
He tried to deny it, but I'm like, your guy.
He only would bet it if he's betting with Marone.
There's no reason to pick this game. I mean, none.
Not sexy.
All right? Not sexy, not necessary.
Drew Brees had surgery today on his thumb. Yeah. But we don't know the exact details. I'm assuming it was successful. But no Drew Brees for 6 weeks. And yesterday we meant to I had a story here that's very upsetting.
Okay.
And I don't want us to completely just derail, but a 4-year-old gelding was euthanized at Santa Anita after breaking its pelvis. The horse was named Zeke, and he eventually succumbed to the injury and passed or was put down. Now, it's the second horse to die from injuries sustained in the training track in 2019, but that omits 30 horses that died at Santa Anita earlier this year during the winter and spring meets. In March, the track shut down briefly after it revealed that 21 horses had died at the track in 2 months. Racing resumed September 27th.
Where's PETA on all this?
I think they're pretty hardcore on horse racing. I think horse racing gets a lot of protests constantly.
But this specifically.
I think Santa Anita is getting, it's getting a lot of protest. Have you watched the HBO Real Sports about it?
No, I can imagine. It's hard for me to watch that stuff because we shouldn't judge the, outrage based on the beauty of an animal, but still, it's going to be part of it for people. I mean, it's such a gorgeous animal, and to just see what these trainers and these jockeys put them through. I mean, everybody's got their job to do. I get it. And I'm sure some of them do it humanely. But clearly, Santa Anita's not.
I mean, the number of horses that die every year in racetracks in America, it's like 1,500. It's a number that's obscene. I saw it and was like, that is obscene.
Well, we've pretty much, have we done away with the dog tracks? Or they still kind of exist in Florida?
I'm sure there's still dog tracks around.
But they've been hit, too. There have been protests around that and all the treatments of greyhounds. Remember, that was a huge thing a few years ago. I don't know, man. There's so much else to do. Again, it's not the gambling aspect of it. I understand gambling, but there's got to be other things to bet on,
now,
right?
Speaking of brutal sports that the combatants really end up potentially in a bad way, we haven't gotten to mention how good that heavyweight fight was this past weekend on ESPN+. The Otto Wallin was the challenger against Tyson Fury. And I just told you off the air, Don, that I was sort of at my wit's end with Tyson Fury. I don't know.
I told you about, cause I just loved, they were promoting it.
I know. And I was like, oh, I forgot. I didn't know that fight was already here.
And there was that, and you know much more about it than I do, but there was that one sequence they showed where somebody's trying to punch him and he's missing every shot. Like, it was great. like his head's bobbing back and forth. He's against the ropes and he can't be touched.
Yes.
Like that was intriguing. I love the commercial for it.
So Fury ended up fighting, by the way, Wilson Ramos is getting
finally.
There you go. Fury fought a very different kind of fight. He was cut, early in the fight with a left hand, right to his right brow. And he had a gash from that moment on. It was maybe the third or fourth round.
He had right in the face.
He had this gash the rest of the night. And I got to tell you, whatever percentage his cut man got that night, it should have been quintupled. Because, Don, when the cut is caused by a punch, if they stop the fight, it's over. You right. lose the title. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting here waiting to get his big payday with Deontay Wilder. He has a fight with this undefeated guy, Otto Wallin, that no one really knows who he is or cares. He's supposed to win, okay? He's just supposed to win. Now you're a few rounds in, and you have a gash that is pouring blood every round. So if they come in, look at the gash, and go, the cut's too bad, we're stopping it. They review the tape. They saw it wasn't a headbutt. It was a punch. You lose. Title's gone. Wilder fight, gone. Everything gone. His cut man was gooping Vaseline into his face after every round and putting it together. So every single round he'd come out, it would stay together for about 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And then the last 45 seconds, it would pour blood. He'd get back. They'd wipe him down, do it again. He survived the entire fight. That guy might have saved you legit $40 million down the road. You have no idea how much money was at stake if you lose on a cut to Otto Wallin. If you don't have ESPN Plus, you should get it and watch. It was very good. Now here's a story from yesterday. Andrew loves these press conferences with Washington State head coach Mike Leach. And yesterday, or this weekend, he was asked, people like to ask Mike Leach random questions because he takes them all very seriously and has a good time with them. He was asked about who would win in like a Pac-12 battle of the mascots.
Okay.
So here's Mike Leach.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance.
What?
The beaver... Well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The Ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that Ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. As far as a beast alone... a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
Fantastic.
That is unbelievable how seriously you took that question.
I love it. That was ENN. It was
I love it.
Fueled by Sloman's. Looking for low-price home heating oil this winter? Call 866-OIL-DEAL for low-price home heating oil and service from Sloman's. That's 866-OIL-DEAL.
Looking forward to talking to Barry Zito in studio next year on The Michael Kay Show at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to The Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.